And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to Spin Rate, the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice, and yes, we are here talking about your Toronto Blue Jays. We being me and one of my many co-hosts. We do this show twice a week, once a week with Caitlin McGrath, who covers the Blue Jays for Spin Rate. And then here, midweek, I'm joined by former Blue Jays starter and all-star, American League all-star, of course, Ricky Romero. He joins me from beautiful downtown Toronto, or Mississauga, or somewhere in that area. Ricky, how are you?
Good, how are you? Poor credit. I've noticed that people are like, it's like, no, it's not Mississauga, it's Port Credit. I'm like, all right, sorry.
Port Credit is a ballin' area. And there's even a special little secret area of Port Credit that's like not like even part of Mississauga. There's a little like a little enclave that's like right on the lake, and it's like a private road. They don't plow it. It's all like secret. This is a secret little street in Port Credit.
Well, I definitely don't live there.
No. Well, Ricky is in Port Credit, not Mississauga, underlined. I am in beautiful downtown Orangeville. I don't live in downtown Orangeville. I kind of wish I did. But we're here talking about your Toronto Blue Jays. As I mentioned, we do the show twice a week. So if you want to subscribe and get the good stuff from us, you should do that. If you want to subscribe to The Athletic, right now there's not only a Father's Day deal, but I really want you to go to theathletic.com/spinrate and subscribe for a full year. Get a tidy discount. Let them know that we sent you. Today, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Number one on the list is why don't they win every night, which is, I think, a really important thing to discuss. Now, obviously, there's been a bit of a seismic shift somewhat within the rotation with some injury news, a little bit of who's on first situation when it comes to the rotation, as well as just the regular kind of looking around. Our guy, Matt Chapman, swinging the bat, still looks so good, still could even somehow be better. But let's start with the biggest news of the week. Number one, Hyunjin Ryu's season is over. There's a chance that his career as a member of Blue Jays could be over, as things looking a little bit dark. He's got to go in and have surgery on his elbow. They're not quite sure of the extent at this point, but a bummer in... look, I think it's a bummer, full stop. Hyunjin Ryu signed in Toronto when I don't think a lot of people would have expected that to have happened. As many folks have said, it sort of ushered in this era of competitiveness in Toronto. People rightly asking, like, if Hyunjin Ryu doesn't sign here, does Marcus Semien, does George Springer, or just even the value of that signal? And then, of course, the 2020 season was cut short, during which he pitched so incredibly well, was a finalist for the Cy Young Award, pitched okay for much of 2021, but then it started to sort of get away from him a little bit, and then we've seen him struggle. So I guess the question to you, Ricky, is this more of a loss in terms of what it means rather than actual production on the field? Because, again, he hasn't been the guy we associated with him being for a little while now.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it stinks that he's done for the season, because like you mentioned, all those things, I think he did pave the way for those guys to sign here as free agents. Now, do we know that for a fact? No, we don't. But it almost seemed like he started that trend. And yeah, he carried that rotation when he first signed. And then he almost won the Cy Young in that shortened season. And obviously, things didn't go his way last season. I mean, he had some good games in there, and then he'd falter other games, and then dealt with some injuries, and then come in this year. I always said it. If we would have gotten 5 innings out of Ryu every fifth day, good. 6 innings, great. 7 innings, excellent. You know, that I feel like he really didn't have to carry the load. But to me, what sticks out about it is when you think of Alek Manoah last season, and you almost saw it in the dugout on their social media, just how much he took him under his wing, it seemed like. And to me, that goes a long way when you're able to take a young guy and make him feel comfortable. And it almost seemed like those two had hit it off really, really well. And you know, again, a tough loss, but as an organization, as a team, you can't really sit there and dwell on it. It's like, we got to keep going. We have the mighty Yankees to catch up, and it's pretty much next guy. I mean, again, we've mentioned Nate Pearson in the past. Who knows what's going to happen there, how it's going to happen, if he's going to come in as a reliever, as a starter. We don't know any of that stuff, but somebody's going to have to step up. And obviously right now the guy has been Ross Stripling, and he's done a tremendous job.
He has. And yeah, I think that replacing the production that the Blue Jays would have received from Hyunjin Ryu in 2022 isn't that difficult. And Ross Stripling has done that more than ably. But Matt, replacing what he's done is not going to be that difficult. And I so maybe we can segue on. Obviously, again, it's terrible news for Ryu, a guy who's quite a bit you know, who is a little bit older now in terms of, you know, what, he's 35 and now looking at a pretty significant rehab, a guy who's made a lot of money in the big leagues and has a lot of questions potentially about his own future that he'll have to answer himself probably before even the baseball marketplace gets the chance to offer them. I mean, I'm sure that anyone worth their salt would give Hyunjin Ryu a look no matter what happens. And then if he comes back next year, if it's not so serious and he's able to rehab and be ready for spring training, off you go. And again, offering that veteran, the veteran presence such as it is, and the being able to even, you know, mentor. I mean, I always talk about this, but the Blue Jays at the same time have always signaled that they do value this, but to only a certain extent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've talked so much about having Troy Tulowitzki there, you know, before to kind of mentor Bo Bichette, and it was nice, but then the Blue Jays were happily like, you know, Troy, we're going to send, you know, here's your money that you earned. But we're moving forward with Bo and as valuable, the infield lessons that you could bestow upon him, it's just better to have, you know, clear the deck a little bit. So while it would be the idea of Hyunjin Ryu being in spring training with the Ricky Tiedemanns and the Zulaletas, as well is great, but you're not going to pay $20 million for that. So
by the way, holy hype on that Ricky Tiedemann, and I've seen his numbers. Oh my God.
It's crazy.
He is tearing through the minors. And I heard about him. He's from Southern California, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard a little bit about him in high school, and everyone was like, he is really, really good. And I mean, to come in and out of high school and be tearing the minor leagues like he is. Oof. I mean, they might have a diamond there or something.
It's always interesting when you could see guys take big, big steps forward from like what their kind of pre-draft scouting reports would have been to where they sort of get in the next stage. Like, you know, Nate Pearson was that guy. Nate Pearson didn't have glowing scouting reports. And then the next thing you know, he goes to junior college and he really takes off. And I actually was reading Keith Law's newsletter the other day, and he was talking about the Cape Cod League. You know, the Cape Cod League has kind of changed because so many of the top pitchers are like kind of resting, and they get run, you know, as you know as well as anybody, get worked real hard at the end of the college season. But he talked about Brandon Morrow being like a guy who was like kind of 90-91 as a starter in his first year on the Cape, and then he came back and he was throwing 99 and he was a reliever, and then of course he went on to be, you know, for a big first round pick. But so that whenever there is that opportunity, when guys are able to kind of make that jump, and to me, that's the craziest thing about being a scout, and the idea of being able to see that projection. Be like, sure, he's 90-91 now, but I bet in a couple of years with a bit of professional instruction, we can get him up 95-96. And then, you know, that's like alchemy, like magic. I don't know how they can like see into the future like that. But anyway, where were we? We were talking about Hyunjin Ryu. Hopefully not the end of his career. Hopefully not the end of his career as a Blue Jay. The question I was going to ask, and this sort of getting back into what happened last night, is Ross Stripling even the fifth starter at this point? Is maybe Yusei Kikuchi the fifth starter, and Ross Stripling's position is that much more secure in the Blue Jays rotation?
I think, I was at the game last night, and I actually sat down and paid attention to Kikuchi and his start. And again, I mean, another frustrating start. I'm sure fans are getting impatient with him. And you watch the body of work of what Stripling's been able to do. And I mean, people need to understand, it is not easy by any means to do what he's doing, to be asked to be a middle reliever And then he goes out and closes out a game in Anaheim. And then, hey, by the way, somebody went down. Ryu went down. We need you to start now and pick up the slack. And it's like he's doing it with ease. And it's, again, I mentioned the word value of a veteran guy, and that's what he is, a valuable veteran guy that's giving them quality innings. And I think I saw something where he went from like 30 pitches to 50 pitches, and now he's at 76 pitches. And I love, like, again, Kikuchi, watch what Stripling's doing and how he's doing it. He doesn't throw nearly as hard as Kikuchi does, but man, he pitches, man. And that goes a long way when you're able to pitch in that league and you're able to locate your fastball. Everything works off your fastball. Kikuchi, again, one of those things where nibbling gets him in trouble, and it almost seems like he just doesn't trust his stuff. So right now, yeah, you'd have to think that Stripling is the number four guy and Kikuchi is the fifth guy.
I guess the question, though, with someone like Kikuchi is then what do you do with him? Obviously, the stuff is there. So even if you think we want to move him out of the rotation and use him as like a swing guy, I don't know that that's necessarily even a good idea because of the inability to trust his stuff. I think, you know, I'm looking at his numbers and it's noisy, like these kind of micro splits, but like when Kikuchi's really at his best, it's when he's about 50 pitches into his start is kind of what I'm seeing, which is that when he's been able to figure out that this is working and I can trust my slider today, or I can trust my fastball today. And then he's able to go with it, I think, because one thing I'm seeing, and again, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. I don't want to overvalue sort of these micro splits or these really small sample things, but like getting killed, you know, with the first batter of the inning, getting killed the first time through the order, and then being that much better the second time through the order. Cause maybe when I went to look, I was like, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe as soon as guys get a second look at him, they're kind of battering him a little bit, but it's the opposite of that. So I think your point is a great one, which is that you can see all the pieces are there right now, but it's just not come together in a way that is making him effective. Again, this is a guy, he's really struggled to go deep into games. He's really struggled to get off to good starts. And even when he's been okay, there's been, sometimes it feels like a real battle to get through those innings.
And I'm going to give a shout out to Chris Black. You know who Chris Black is, works for Sportsnet. He tweeted this out this morning. When you say Kikuchi throws fastballs often, especially early in counts, he has success. His best efforts this year have all come when he's pounding fastball early. So far, if he's greater than 70% of fastball usage, he has a 2.18 ERA. Less than 70%, it's a 6.60 ERA. That's a big difference, man. And that should tell you, like, trust your damn fastball. It's plenty good enough. Don't shy away from contact. Because I feel like sometimes if he starts getting hit, it's almost like, oh, I'm going to start nibbling. I'm going to start trying to throw my changeup. I'm going to guide my slider in there. And that's when he falls in trouble. And this is two pitches of a plate appearance. That's what he's talking about. And I mean, again, it's very important information that somebody should be relaying to him and say, use your fastball. And it's okay to get hit. I'd rather get hit than give out free passes. And then the big hit comes and then now you're hurt. I'd rather boom, 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 get. You have seven guys behind you and a guy behind the plate working hard for you. Trust them. Trust them. You have a great defense. You have a great third baseman. You have Bowe, who's really good. A center fielder who can cover some ground, and man, trust him. And that just tells me that he doesn't trust his fastball enough.
Yeah. Again, his numbers are really weird when you look at sort of, you know, where his struggles come. And I think a lot of that really like comes back to that point that you relayed from Chris Black, which is like in 1-1 counts, he gets killed, right? And he's way worse than the league in those counts. On the first pitch, he gets killed. And again, I wonder if that's a matter of A, not trusting his stuff, or B, you know, again, there are a million different things you can sort of point to. And again, if we go down and like really get granular with it, we could probably uncover a little bit more. It's like, is he
grooving his fastball because he's afraid to fall behind? And then is he being too fine? Is he nibbling with his fastball on the first pitch and he's falling behind versus grooving it? I don't know. But the point is, I think that as an armchair psychologist or whatever, that it does seem like a guy who just doesn't really trust his stuff right now. And we've seen it when he does do that, when he does pound the fastball, when he is a bit more aggressive, he can really produce. But at times it just, if he doesn't feel like he has that command, I can't help but wonder, you know, then he just starts searching for it and guessing and reaching around.
And I also want to reiterate, it ain't easy what he's going through. And I mm-hmm. share that from experiences, from an experience where you're trying to find yourself. You're trying to find your game. It happened with me in 2012. I was trying to tune some things up and I was trying to change things. And when you're doing all that kind of stuff, it's just like you start thinking on the mound. You start thinking from pitch to pitch, and that can get you in trouble rather than, okay, I've worked hard enough in the bullpen that now I just got to go out there and execute. Forget the mechanics side of it. Forget all that stuff. Now, if I fall in trouble, I got to be able to make the adjustments from pitch to pitch. But if I'm going good, don't overthink it. Just go mm-hmm. out there and trust your stuff. You're a big leaguer for a reason. You have power stuff for a reason. Trust that. Trust in yourself. Trust in the work that you've put in.
We'll be right back with more Spin Rate. But first, check this out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Here's a crazy number that, again, these are splits, right? So these are not huge samples. So again, it's not necessarily predictive, but this is what's happened so far this year. With the count even, so the count's even, so 1-1-2-2, whatever, Yusei Kikuchi has allowed a 995 OPS, which is almost like doubly, like twice as bad as, or 87% worse than the league average in that number. So that's like that's Mike Trout. When the count's even, when the batter is ahead, he's allowed like a 1278 OPS, which is insane. That's like Mike Trout playing at AAA, right? Like that's just, it would be insane. When he's ahead, when Kikuchi gets ahead in the count, he has allowed a 300 OPS, which is like, that's what my slash line is in men's league, like 100, 100, 100, basically. And so, I mean, again, that to me seems like once he's ahead, he's got such good stuff that he can be in command of that plate appearance. But if he's behind or he's afraid to fall behind, you know, it definitely seems like it can be a real problem.
I think that's what it is. I think mm-hmm. that's what it is, Drew. It's almost like he falls behind and he's like, okay, what was it that I was doing? What was it that what's going to get me back? Instead of just saying, hey, you know what? I'm 2-0. Here's my fastball. 97. Boom. I'm going to locate it. I'm going to come right at you and I'm going to make you look silly. But mm-hmm. when you start nibbling, when you start guiding your changeup, when you start guiding your slider, which is what I saw yesterday, it's almost like he's trying. When you start trying 60 feet, 6 inches, it's game over.
Mm-hmm. So with Ross Stripling kind of established at the current moment anyway, as a mainstay in the rotation for the time being, Trent Thornton is a guy who's kind of stepped into that multi-inning role. And Thornton's really interesting because, you know, he doesn't have the overpowering stuff, but he seems like he's been effective. Like, I don't think that's unfair to say that he's been effective in that sort of swing role, you know, not the highest leverage, but that, you know, as we've seen with Stripling and a million other times, that a guy who can do that job is really important to a good team.
100%. And again, Thornton has battled his own demons, you know, as we like to say in baseball. And he's a guy that was for a while was like the future part of this rotation. And then He obviously struggled a bit at that starter role, and then he was up and down guy. And right now he seems to have found a home in that middle relief role. And again, with him, it's always been trusting his stuff. It's the same thing. It's never really been about stuff because he's always had great stuff. He threw hard. He throws hard. But right now what I see and what I watched last night is he's going right after hitters. Here you go. Hit my stuff. Here you go. And when, if I have you with two strikes, I'm going to throw you that nasty slider, which he's been doing great. And when you have that type of guy in the bullpen and a guy that you can rely on and say, hey, here's two innings. I need two innings out of you. I need three innings out of you. And he goes out there and perfects the job. I mean, it makes the manager's job a lot easier rather than having to use, you know, six, seven guys throughout the night. You kind of ride that one guy, and he seems to be that guy, and he seems to be adapting to that role really, really well.
I'm a little worried, I'll be honest.
Because I am too. I mean, the bullpen, it worries me, but go ahead.
I'm worried about Trent Thornton. I think this is a good spot for him. He's able to find some soft landing spots for him, and they're able to get him in there in those low leverage opportunities. You know, he's good at missing barrels, I think is not unfair to say, but he's not a guy who misses a lot of bats. So mm-hmm. Right now you're seeing him, he's kind of walking too many people relative to the amount of guys he strikes out, because he doesn't strike out very many at all. But he hasn't given up a single home run this year, which is a great way to get way ahead of the game. But in some ways he seems like the same guy, but I think that you can make use of that guy. And I think that I think about him and Anthony Kay sort of in the same, place in my mind sometimes. Anthony Kay is a guy that throws really hard, but he's a guy who has a really hard time getting out righties. His breaking ball is not super established at the big league level. But, you know, there's a lot to like about what Trent Thornton does. The one thing I'm thinking about, as Trent Thornton as sort of like a former starter, a guy who had, you know, more than his share of starts in the big leagues. How many times has he started in the big leagues? He has lots. But, you know, I was on a different page. He made 35 starts. As a rookie, he started 29 times. That's like he took his turn every 5 days, basically for the whole year. But even looking at like the Orioles bullpen, so the Orioles are a club that is kind of on their way out of a bit of a tank, but they've got a lot of like big armed goons, guys that were like top, big prospect starters who haven't really panned out, but are really finding their feet in that bullpen. And I saw a few folks mentioning it. I would kind of like to see the Jays be able to kind of pull some of these big monstrous arms, kind of not out of nowhere, but like be able to take a chance on a guy like a Dylan Tate sort of guy, and then turn them into something, because it's a little bit scary.
Could it be that Nate Pearson is that guy?
Yeah. It could. Absolutely. Right?
I mean, he's a guy that has a power arm. But yeah, they threw out Dylan Tate. They threw out that Perez kid from the left side throwing 97. They threw out that Bautista guy throwing like 99. And okay, I was like,
he's ridiculous. Oh my. He is ridiculous. That's different. He's the guy. If you go to his StatCast page, it is just like a sea of red. He is insane, that Felix Bautista. He can bring it. But yeah, like that, it's a nice place to start from, if nothing else, when you're trying to make your team, you know, not, you know, bring it, make it more respectable. You can kind of shore up a few holes. Okay, what's up?
I still like Daniel Bard.
Bard. You got Daniel Bard as your guy. That's your Blue Jays target.
I watched some of his highlights the other day. He's throwing like backdoor sinkers at like 99. I was like, oh my God. Show me the numbers. What are his numbers? Bard?
Bard is nasty. I don't think there's anyone's going to argue with that. But and what a great story too, as we talked about before. Yeah. But like, you know, when you look at his, he pitches in Colorado. In terms of his expected batting average, expected slugging, expected weighted on base, even weighted on base allowed, like he's way ahead of the game. One of the best strikeout rates. Oh man, his everything, like 98th percentile for expected ERA, 82nd percentile for whiff, 97th percentile for fastball velocity. Yeah, do that. Okay, that you've sold me. Daniel Bard, let's go.
I've just been on him, and I know Colorado isn't going anywhere this season, and I'm like, a guy that knows that AL East. Obviously, he pitched in the AL East a long time ago, but and everything he's been through, his story and everything, I just think he would be a great fit in that clubhouse, in that bullpen. I think he'd be a good fit.
If you asked me how old he was, I would not have guessed the number that I just read.
Hold on, 34.
Nope. He's 36.
Wow. Wow.
He was fully out of the league. I mean, his numbers, he's 2013 to 2020. That's really
something. You know what's funny? I don't know if you saw that video I posted the other day that I wrote comeback and I was throwing in the pen. You did see it.
You tagged me and it scared the life out of me.
And he shot me a DM. He's like, hey, if you're serious about it, let's talk. Because he obviously went through it, right? And I was no, I'm just kidding.
How did you feel after you were thrown in the bullpen? You said you hadn't done that in a while.
I hadn't even picked up a baseball, and probably not smart of me just to jump in the bullpen and start chucking away. But, you know, the campers wanted to see it, and I was like, you know what? I'll give you guys a bit of a show, I guess. Mm-hmm. I was sore for like 2 days, but not in pain, really? So that's good.
That's good. And what were you were just throwing fastballs?
Yeah.
That's good to know. And who was catching it? Can you have them DM me?
It was a young high school kid, I believe. But no, it was fun. It was I was sore for 2-3 days, and then after that, I was like, okay. Called my wife, and I was like, should I? No, I'm just kidding.
We'll get you in there at drive line. Get you the weighted balls. Get you all that crazy stuff. Bard would be a great place to start. You know, I was thinking about another hard throwing right hander who could maybe help address some of the Blue Jays challenges in terms of not only in the rotation, but maybe if they needed a left handed power bat at the same time. Look, people were really mad that I was like, the Blue Jays should trade for Shohei Ohtani, because Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic wrote a really interesting story about what the situation the Angels are in with when it comes to re-signing Ohtani, with some of the added context, like his agent told the Angels at the end of last season, if you want to sign an extension, he wants to be the highest paid player in the league. Understandably so. He is a cat. He not only is one of the best players ever, he is just a huge cash generating machine for the team. But if he's making $45 million a year, and Mike Trout's making what, 34 or 35, and then Anthony Rendon has a well earned but not yet to deliver on what he's being paid contract, that's like more than $100 million in three guys. So the Angels are in a tough spot. But at the same time, and somebody else, I had a lot of discussion about this. It's really unlikely. It's not likely the Angels are going to trade Shohei Ohtani, because how do you trade Shohei Ohtani? How do you look yourself in the mirror and be like, I traded Shohei Ohtani?
I love how much you're trying to sell it to on social media. And you said, here's a list of the top 10 prospects. Take all of them if you want.
take three, take six. My thing was like, if you're the Blue Jays and you say, we'll take Anthony Rendon back, right? We'll pay for Anthony Rendon's contract. That way the Angels have this, that much more wiggle room. And they've got some new prospects to really kind of kickstart, because they've got a lot of guys that like Brandon Marsh, Jared Walsh, even the Taylor Ward, they've got talent. They just are the Angels. So none of it makes sense. It's really unlikely. But if the Angels were like, you know what? Shohei has said to us, he's not going to resign. He's going to go test the market. He's now lived in and played in the big leagues in North America for 7 years. He's less married to the idea of staying on the West Coast. If I'm the Blue Jays and they're going to investigate a trade, I'm like, me first. Come talk to me. And every team in baseball would be crazy not to. But the Blue Jays, it's too good a fit. it's too good.
I mean, yeah, it would be amazing. But yeah, I don't know how that happens.
It will never happen. Never in a million years. But a kid can dream.
But if it does, what would you do?
Oh my God. I don't even know what I would do. I'm so out of pocket with all this Shohei Ohtani stuff that a guy tweeted at me, was like, oh, first it was Jose Ramirez, now it's Juan, then it was Juan Soto, now it's Ohtani. Like, you got to get, you know, this is just like fantasy land. But that guy who said that had a quote in his Twitter bio, which is, if you don't believe in magic, then you'll never experience it. I'm like, come on, man, like connect the dots here. More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's talk about someone who would be at the top of any trade list if the Blue Jays were to pull off a blockbuster, and somebody you got to see up close, Gabby Moreno. What did you see about him? Looking really good, just a beautiful, buttery, smooth swing, showing off the arm back there. Caitlin and I talked about this quite a bit on Monday, but I'd love to know what you thought getting up close and personal and seeing what Gabby Moreno has to offer.
Presence and poise, man. He just looks like he belongs, right? Like, I feel like sometimes when young rookies break into the league, it's almost like they're overwhelmed. The spotlight gets a little bit too much for them. But it almost seems like he's just embraced it. And I feel like now everyone, every time there's a runner at first base, everyone wants him to steal. Everyone. Because they want to see how this arm. And it's just crazy how fast he gets rid of the ball. And like how he, like his pop time. I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And he's been as good as advertised so far. And watching him hit yesterday, not trying to do too much, but just finding the holes, getting clutch hits. And it almost seemed like he was built for this, and he was born to be in the spotlight, and he's embraced it really well. Again, it doesn't seem like he's been totally overwhelmed. Now, we don't know how it's been, obviously, being behind the plate with veteran guys and trying to learn them, trying to learn their game and stuff like that. But he's the number one prospect for a reason. Or I don't know if he is now anymore because he's obviously a big leaguer, but everything I saw – and even catching, obviously, it's going to take a while to learn every single guy in that staff. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, but the more he does his homework on these guys, the more he communicates with all these guys, the better off he's going to be. And that's the key word, communication.
And Caitlin and I talked about this Monday too, when she relayed that early in the game, Kevin Gausman was had been scuffling a little bit, and then he turns around and then there's Moreno ready to chat, and he kind of had a bit of a laugh that like, here's this rookie, and he knows what he has to do, and he knows what his responsibilities are. And the fact that he's a rookie, the fact that Kevin Gausman makes big piles of money and is like an established stud in the big leagues, doesn't change the fact that the catcher still needs to go out and like have that discussion, communicate with the pitcher. And
yeah, that
it's
was
really
awesome.
Great to see. Yeah, and he's looked, the point that I made and I continue to make is that the throwing and the pop times and the high velo on the throws and almost the similarities between like JT Realmuto and he right now, right? Where it's just like so well-rounded in every aspect of the position in terms of throwing, pop times, you know, speed. He's a fast runner. It was odd to see him kind of pinch run for, but it was kind of a one in a series of moves
when they ran for him, because they did have Kirk coming up to pinch hit, blah, 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 blah. But all that athleticism, I think, is really going to lend itself to do the most important thing for me, which is receive the baseball, really like present those strikes as strikes and make sure that the ump gets a good look at the pitches that the Blue Jays need and that are those 50-50 borderline calls. He did a good job, I think, especially in his first start with Gausman, doing that, presenting those pitches at the bottom of the zone. And then the at bats are good, right? Like, again, he picked up a few knocks here and there, you know, not exactly blasting the baseball over the fence, but just like such a pro, not giving away at bats, which I think is a kind of a cliched thing to say. But again, like you said, he has poise and he looks the part when he's in the batter's box, even though he's only got like 10 big league appearances.
Yeah, and there was an at bat yesterday where he got behind in the count, two strikes, and I'm trying to remember who the pitcher was. It was either Bautista or Perez, and he tried to sneak another fastball by him, and that's when he took it the other way. And I was like, okay. And then again, he's a young rookie still right now. It's somebody that really didn't hit for a lot of power in the minor leagues, correct?
He definitely didn't hit for a lot of power. No.
And they don't need him for that. If he's a guy that can come in and just get on base, he can get down the line too. Don't forget about that. And obviously, I'm sure as time goes on, they're probably going to say, hey, dude, like, you don't have to run everything out like that, because, you know, the last thing you want is somebody, you know, getting hurt or anything like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But just the way that he plays the game, it almost seems like he plays it at another level. And when you have somebody like that, again, the lineup already has power. Just go out there and do you. Get your base knocks, get on base, and somebody will bring you in. Trust me, somebody in that lineup is going to bring you in. And I feel like the Blue Jays couldn't have asked for a better guy than him, you know, to come up. And obviously we were sitting here wondering, like, hey, is it going to be Zach Collins and Kirk spending time together or splitting time together? But the Jays felt like this kid was ready, and he's doing it.
Even if his ceiling, which again, he's three games into his big league career, is a guy who doesn't hit for a ton of power, maybe we'll get the 10, 15, maybe 20 home runs once or twice. But it's like he and Kirk are kind of the same hitter, right? We talked so much about Alejandro Kirk not having a ton of power. He's shown a lot more of late. But you know, if that is your starting point for your catchers, plus Danny Jansen, you know, on this team, that is an ideal mix. We loved that one the week when Zach Collins was great and he was hitting, you know, he had hit the ball with a lot of power. But like another kind of boom or bust guy isn't what the lineup needs. When they've got a guy like Mourinho who can keep the line going and get on base and then grab those extra bases when he can, that's a bit of a nice treat. You know, the Blue Jays are not the world's greatest base running team in terms of just like speed. I mean, Biggio is the best base runner on the team. Teoscar is the fastest runner. Tapia is what it is. And poor Bradley Zimmer can't steal first, but he gets his chances here and there to get out there. But another athletic guy who can go first to third, who can score from second on a ball hit to left field, whatever. Those things matter, because for most of the Blue Jays lineup, the batter's box is scoring position. But when you're trying to win big games and you're trying to beat good teams, every one of those little edges matters, I think. And it's just another dimension that the Blue Jays can add to their team that can make them that much more dangerous come the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And again, the lineup's going to be the lineup. I think we're seeing guys starting to get hot. I mean, Gurriel has been on an absolute tear. And then Vladdy's been Vladdy. And I mean, Springer, to me, it almost seems like he's very, he's not talked about enough. I feel like it's almost like, I mean, the dude rakes like at the top of the lineup and he hits for power. And it's almost like he's kind of flying under the radar. But I'm like, this guy should be in the All-Star game come July.
He's settled into like a very nice, boring level of like extremely good production. Somebody said he's got a 24. I saw it was a tweet. He's got a 24 game on base streak, and he's with like a 930 OPS over that time. And it's like, wow. Yo, that's really good.
Yeah.
And again, he comes in, and again, you talk about a professional at bats. You talk about the athleticism as well. A guy who can really run. You know, is not a blazer by any stretch of the imagination, but just, you know, you. he's just such a pro, right? He has those great at-bats and turns those great at-bats in. One guy I want to talk about is the guy we've talked about always, and that's Matt Chapman, who's nosed up over the league average mark in terms of his production, but again, just continues to like look so good. And he just did so well. He was all over that breaking ball last night. The one that he hit out, but it was one right before where he just like tracked it and saw it and like picked it up and got a good piece, but just missed it. And then didn't miss the next one. And then, you know, you texted me later on because he hit it like 415 feet,
dude,
but somehow stayed in the park. Poor guy.
Oh my God. How did that not go out? I was watching it and I was like, oh baby, he got all of that one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that thing hung up in the air a little too long. Mm-hmm. If he goes to left field with that, I mean, he's in the second deck.
Well, and we've talked about that too, is that he's been hitting to the big part of the ballpark so much this year, almost to his detriment. Yeah. But that, again, his approach is so sound, right? And I think that what you saw when he hit, because he stayed back. And to me, when he hit that curveball that he hit out, it almost felt like he was like leaned right over. Like he had just done such a good job of like staying back and like all the way back leaning on it. And he hit it a ton. And you know, again, but staying back and then being able to pull those off-speed pitches and then try to use the big part of the park with stuff that's thrown a little bit harder. I think the thing with Matt Chapman is just keep doing what you're doing. And
just another
really good player. The Blue Jays have a lot of really good players. They're a good team.
I kind of like how he even keel he is, though. Like, he doesn't get too high or too low. I haven't seen him get frustrated, you know, throw his shit around or anything like that. It's almost like he's like, okay, like, he hit the home run, and the next at bat, I think he struck out, and he's like, okay, like, it's never like really, you never see too high, too low, which is good. I mean, the season is so long that, you know, if you're spending all your time being mad every time you don't hit a home run or don't get a base hit, then this game will eat you up. And it just seems like we mentioned the word pro, and it's like, that's what he is. He just goes out there. He's going to put up a good at bat, and he's going to get into some, and man, like, hit, like you said it best, he shouldn't change a thing, and he just should continue to trust his approach, and it's going to happen. I know we've said it in the past before, but it's going to happen for him, where I feel like he's going to get hot, and we're just going to be like, wow, there it is.
I would say that I think that it is happening, right? Again, it's testament to him that he's been able to kind of keep that approach and keep that positive outlook when he was hitting like a .190 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now he's up over 220, which is like, you know, no one's writing home to tell his grandma that he's hitting 222 in the big leagues this year, but like everything is trending up, and all everything about what he's been doing is positive, right? It's everything looks exactly the part. So a great sign. Now, last thing we could talk about, Blue Jays got the Yankees this weekend. Are we maybe making too much of the Yankees given where they are right now? You know, they are the monster under the bed. They don't lose. Every night they win. The Blue Jays, doesn't matter how much they win, they can't seem to make up any ground. But I mean, the Yankees are going to come back towards Earth. They're not going to come back to Earth necessarily. They're obviously a very good and very deep team. But there's no better time to get better and to get the Yankees, you know, regressing to the mean by playing well and beating the pants off of them this weekend. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, no. You know what? It's a good test because the Blue Jays have been playing very, very well. And obviously, I think it's important for the Blue Jays to win these next two games that they have against Baltimore and take that hot streak against the Yankees. And by no means is it going to be a easy series, but it's going to be a good test. And I don't think the Blue Jays should get caught up in, hey, like, we're trying to catch them. Oh, like, let's do everything. I hope they lose, because if you lose sight of that, of what's going on in front of you, then this game is going to kick you in the ass. And I think they should just, you know, win ball games, win series, chip away, and the Yankees are not going to win every single game from here on out.
It just feels that way.
It feels that way, yeah. But I think that they're going to hit a rut eventually. And right now, their starting staff has been unbelievable. I mean, they're throwing guys out there. Severino looks really, really healthy again. And again, this is a good test. And this is going to be a good series. The Rogers Center is going to be rocking and rolling for this series. And and you just hope that the Blue Jays come out and even though I always feel like when they play the Yankees, they play them really, really well, especially when Gerrit Cole's on the mound. It almost seems like they cherish that moment, and they really want to, you know, hit him well, which sometimes they do. Most of the time, I feel like. So I'm looking forward to it.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to how they pitch and how they handle a bit of adversity, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of blowout games. We might get back to those, you know, cardiac games again, where it's 2-1, 1-0, 3-1, and, you know, Romano's in there for the save. So it's going to be a really, really solid test for them.
It's going to be fun to watch, even if you are, you know, it's hard when you're living and dying with every game. And again, we talked about that. You know, the Blue Jays, of course, lost last night on Monday or Tuesday, but they're not going to win every game. But at the end of the day, this is like two of the five or six best teams in baseball squaring off. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be tense, but hopefully if you're a Blue Jays fan, this is the time to like start to just knock those Yankees back down to earth.
Yeah. Go to the ballpark, people. Go to the ballpark, buy your tickets. This team is fun, and enjoy, you know, the hell out of these guys, because they're going out there and they're grinding it out. And again, I feel like this is I wish my trip ends on Friday. I go back home to being a full-time dad, and I wish I was staying for this series. So I'm going to be living through all the fans that are there when I'm watching it on TV.
Or when you're doing more than that, perhaps. will anyone be able to see you in the next couple of days, perhaps, Ricky Romero?
Oh, yeah. So today I'm doing the pre- and post-game for the Toronto Blue Jays on Blue Jays Central. That should be pretty cool. I always enjoy when they invite me to talk the game, talk pitching. So it should be pretty fun.
So catch Ricky on the broadcast tonight on Wednesday, but make sure you keep up with us on Spin Rate whenever we record, twice a week. So Ricky, have a safe flight back, and we will talk next week. And hopefully we have a lot of exciting things to talk about. Thank you for joining me as always. Thank you for listening. And we will be back very soon with more Spin Rate.